It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
You're welcome, Phil Goff. How are you? Is your health all right? Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm good, Mikey. And the sun's shining over Auckland today. That's something to celebrate. Somebody asked me in the office, what's that bright thing in the sky? And they hadn't seen it for so long, they'd forgotten. But it's a good day.
I'll tell you what, I'm loving Auckland at the moment, Phil. I'm loving it. You and your team there at the council, just, you know, I must say thanks for keeping Auckland in check.
And I won't take responsibility for the weather then.
I was going to say, a couple of things, though.
Yeah. A couple of things. But he says.
Firstly, I went to the zoo yesterday, and that was fantastic.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Really good.
I've got a little granddaughter that's now about 10 months old, and I can't wait to have an excuse to go back to the zoo, you know, on a regular basis.
Surely you're the mayor. You just say, I need to go check the zoo out.
Yeah, no, I did check it out actually earlier this year.
I bet they really jumped. Really good.
It's one of the facilities in Auckland that where they're looking to do things that are new and different.
All the time, yeah.
And the kids were there and having the time of their life. And when we go to the zoo, we think, hey, I bet we took our kids there.
I bet they really skip up their performance when you get there, though, eh? Look, a bear's coming.
Oh, you know, the giraffe.
Get up, the giraffe.
And the
polish the... pretend there's still a hippo alive.
Yeah. No, it's a great part of the Auckland Council services. I mean, we do recover a lot of the money on the charge, and they also try to make provision for kids from disadvantaged areas so that they don't get excluded from getting along there. And I think that's important.
That's really cool. Hey, did you watch? I suppose you watched a TV show last night on TV3 called Who Owns New Zealand?
No, I didn't.
Interesting.
TV, what's that? I watch the news and I occasionally...
You just watch that to see if your mates are on it.
I don't have any mates. You know that, Mikey.
Oh, that's right. You're the mayor of Auckland.
Yeah, that's right.
there was a lot of talk about, you know, where the money's some amazing facts came out about our policies as far as immigration and the amount of money that you can have to buy your immigration to this country, and then the amount of money that those people were spending once they got here, which is bugger all. Obviously a lot of it was about housing, and we're in a situation in Auckland, as we all know, we're all reminded of constantly, which would be one day we get to say, remember back then.
Yeah.
But at the moment we're in the middle of a, we've got the National Party telling us we're in the middle of an economic boom. We've got the Labour Party saying they're going to help us buy houses. We've got no houses, no boom, and no nothing really at the moment, apart from maybe we've got 14 new Canadian building inspectors in. 12 new qualified building inspectors who have come to work in Auckland, but they're just they're battling away to get things done because we need them because A, we don't have enough building inspectors, B, we don't have enough foremen on sites, and then those people that are building these houses as quickly as possible, which is what everyone's asking for, it turns out there's a lot of really bad quality cheap building products slipping through the system, not up to code, and you know what that says to me? Holy buggery hell. Phil, leaky buildings all over again. One of the biggest, most destructive things that's ever happened to this country is the leaky buildings situation.
That's true. It's cost probably $20 billion to the country, and it's cost Auckland Council.
No one ever mentions
million.
It. No one ever talks about the leaky buildings, hole.
It was a debacle about deregulating. Without thinking it through, at the same time as new products were coming onto the market that weren't fit for purpose and the construction industry didn't put in place. And the problem is all the developers that built these buildings that then cost a fortune to remediate, they've all gone into liquidation. And, of course,
wash their hands of the whole thing.
Yeah, that leaves the council as the last organisation left standing. Law says you approved the permit, therefore you've got to help meet the cost of the remediation. And, you know, what I'm looking for on the Merrill Task Force on Housing is how we can require these guys actually to have a warranty insurance for quality so that it doesn't fall back on the ratepayer to meet the cost of the mess caused primarily by the get rich quick builder. So
and then which then trickles over time too. And if they do get through, then those get rich quick builders turn into get rich quick landlords at some stage, who basically charge the most ridiculous rate for someone to live in a house that's not even up to spec.
Yeah, now you raised about 10 questions before. Which one of those do you want me to answer? Who owns New Zealand? Immigration, investment. Look, I got a, these are personal views, they're not party political views. I've got a strong view that you shouldn't just be able to buy your way into citizenship of a country. Citizenship must mean something. It must mean a commitment to be a New Zealander, to live in the country. And I don't care whether a person makes a donation to charity or says that they might put some money in here. If we start selling citizenship, it demeans the value of the true value of citizenship.
Well, what they came out with last night is I can't remember the guy's name who was the reporter. Sorry, but the is that you can. There were so many multimillionaires. I think it was 152 multimillionaires who have to guarantee they're going to invest $10 million or something. And then there was 852 millionaires from overseas that moved here, and they have to invest $1 million. But the IRD does no follow-up as far as what sort of investments they make or whether those investments are...
It is full of loopholes because, look, $1 million investment is nothing. It doesn't even buy the average house in Auckland. So if you're going to say you can come here if you've got a big investment, okay, if you've got a big investment, that might give you residency. It ought not to give you automatically citizenship. We've still got to make a separate decision on that. But there are loopholes where you can invest it and then take it away again. And, you know, I'm less than convinced that we should be about selling entry. You know, I want people of talent and skill and entrepreneurship and prepared to work hard, live by the values and the ethics of the country. That's what I think citizenship should be about. Yep. Anyway, the other thing about the building inspectors from Canada, because we've got a building boom at the moment, we certainly have a building boom, not a big enough boom to meet the growth in population size. What the building industry does is that they look at all of our building inspectors and say, God, we're short of people with these skills, and they offer them another $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year, and we lose some of our most skilled and experienced builders, which slows down our consenting process. So been taking pretty radical action, you know, bringing people in that are qualified people from overseas, and make no problem about that. I tell you another thing. You know, the construction boom at the moment. I came off the motorway I get off at Nelson Street, and I just counted those cranes across the skylines. And I was stopped at the traffic lights. Of course, I didn't do it while I was watching the road carefully and driving. And you know, 13 cranes I could just see straight in front of me, which is the size of the boom. But then we've got this problem. You see, we're trying to build the City Rail link at the moment, heavy construction. We're going out to tender. Pretty soon we want to start building a central interceptor to stop our wastewater flowing into the harbour. And our guys are saying to me, hey, if we go out to tender for both of these things at the same time, we're competing against ourselves for a scarce resource. Now, we'll be looking internationally for people that will have a New Zealand partner. But that growth is putting pressure on our physical ability to get the infrastructure put in place and the houses developed. Yeah. And, you know, that's why, you know, what should we be doing? We should be working overtime to get our young people into trade skills, encouraging them to pick up apprenticeships and all of that sort of thing. I think that's part of it. And we'll have to import people with those skills too to meet the demand. So, you know, those are all big issues. But at the end of the day, I'd rather have growth than no growth.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather have growth where we match the growth in our population with the growth in the infrastructure to cope, so that we weren't undermining the quality of our life and we weren't undermining the ease of doing business. And when you've got congestion and when you've got unaffordability, both of those things undermine the quality of your life and your ease of doing business.
With the current economic situation in somewhere like Auckland, that makes sense. And then you go, but you can understand why people would be going, okay, I've got to do this, I'm going to do that. But we need to also, I think we need to get over the this sort of reliance on, just get the cheapest thing you can get. Does the council have a policy towards that? Just not, because I know that you constantly under fiscal pressure.
Yeah.
But do you have a policy of making sure that we don't just go for the cheapest option?
Yeah.
To ensure that think the quality of whatever we put the money into remains at a certain level.
When you do a tender, if you just went on price and cheapness, you'd be getting a bad bargain at the end of it, because what you're building would be crap, and you don't want crap, whether it's not structurally sound or whether it's just simply ugly. And I can think of a few examples around town of ugly buildings. So you are looking at saying...
The police station. The police station is the ugliest building in Auckland.
I said that way back when I was Minister of Housing.
Heck of a building.
I tell you what, I remember what I said about it. I said it looked like it was designed... by the KGB in the Soviet Union for mid-interview suicides. they tarted it up a bit, but it's still...
Tarted it up by writing 0800 new cops on the roof.
Yeah,
and they wrote it on the roof. Like, yeah. Who can even see that? I saw it from the Sky Tower when I was up there once.
Only if you're bungee jumping or you're in a helicopter.
Yeah, once I finish a bungee jump, I might sign on as a cop.
Yeah, so no, you do need to do quality. At the same time, we've got to think... When we're looking at housing, you know, all of the house, because of the cost of land, everything that we're building is super expensive, and we're not building affordable housing. So we're never giving, young people the chance to start off with something, as I did, reasonably bloody modest, and then at least you've got your foot on the housing ladder, and you're there. So we also, you know, notwithstanding the arguments about quality, we do need to build smaller houses, we do need to build more apartments, we do need to make sure that people can get their starter home that's soundly built but won't be a mansion. They can't at the moment, and that's where we do need that policy of saying, you know, we've zoned the land now for housing. That should have some downward pressure on prices. We're caught with the construction boom, so that's pushing the price of construction up. But now we have to have some readiness, and I think it's got to be a central government intervention to say, okay, we are going to build at scale. And they won't be mansions, but they'll be decent starter homes for people to live in. And they may be apartments, or they may be terrace housing. They won't be on a quarter-acre section anymore. But to give people a chance to actually have the security of owning their own home, I reckon that's really important.
The Labor Party has intentions, should they become the government, to loosen Auckland's urban boundary, loosen it up, just relax it around the waist there a wee bit, stretch it out there, with a promise to build 100,000 affordable homes over the next sort of 10 years. Is this the best idea? Are we not better off building just sort of livable medium density apartments?
Yeah.
Rather than just spreading it all around, you know?
Yeah, I've had discussions with Phil Twyford about the rural-urban boundary. I think that
He loves it.
Yeah. I think probably with the unitary plan, we've met 90% of what removing the rural-urban boundary could achieve. I like the idea of a program to build affordable houses and a program to build social housing. I think we need those things. I think we'd want to look pretty closely as a council at the concept of whether and how you would remove the rural-urban boundary altogether. I think that, you know, that's still a matter for further discussion.
All right, Phil, thank you very much for talking to us. Wonderful to talk to you again. Have a wonderful week, and we'll speak to you again this time next week.
Okay, thanks, Mikey.
Phil Goff, ladies and gentlemen.
Cheers.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
6 minutes to 9 o'clock on 95 BFM. Thanks for your input there in that story. That's right, that interview. Something that came up on the show last night is Texas reminded me that of when Canada checked out all the immigrants who their millionaire immigrant policy, they have a similar policy to ours, but they followed it up and said, how much do those people, once they're here, once those immigrants have paid their $1 million it's in Canada, how much do they pay their $1 million to become settled in Canada, how much they were declaring on their taxable income every year? And can you guess? The IRD found over there that the millionaire immigrants, and I think it was all of the millionaire immigrants, almost all of them, declared less taxable income than refugees. Thieving fuckers, eh?
That is why they're millionaires.
It's true. Every millionaire I know is tight.
Yeah, and most of them have got that money dodgily.
dodgily.
That's not a word, is it? But you know what I mean.
I don't think that's fair because I know 3 million. I went out to dinner with lunch with 3 millionaire friends of mine, and none of it was dead. They all made their money honestly.
Oh wow!
But you know what? They looked over at me and went, "You going to get this?
Yeah, you're going to pay for it. Yeah,
you guys can get it." Here.
Tight bastard. Yeah,
when I make my money, I'll take you out for land. Nah, good blokes, all of them. One was on the vacuum bags, one was on the bungee jumps, other one was on the tourism.
Well, there you go.
That's good, honest money. I miss you, Andrew Black. There's one of them. He's on the vacuum bags.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Top man.
Top man. Rough diamond.
Yes.
Here's my favourite text of the day, though. I guess this is in regards to the party political advertisement that we're broadcasting on BFM at the moment. That national ad sounds so fucking patronising. Just another old white dude telling us what's good for the rest of us while they nick our shit. Hey, just a listener's opinion.
Yo, what's up? This is Tajay of the Mighty Souls of Mischief.
Oh, hi, Tajay.
My man Festo, my man A Plus, my man. Oh, you know.
Hello, hi.
And right now, you know, we're just maxing.
Introducing themselves here, that's nice, eh?
We're hailing from East Oakland, California.
Oh, we're from Auckland, hi.
Sometimes it gets a little hectic out there.
Oh, same.
But right now, you know, we're going to up you on how we just chill.
Down to 7 digits, call up Bridget, her man's a midget. Plus, she got friends,
you're rocking digging.
Here's a 40 swigging, you know it's frigid. I've got them chilling in the cooler, break out the roof.
Yeah, we're Jack Lang, down to 17.
The world is heating, Cali getting weeded, makes it feel like Maui. Now we feel a good vibration. So many females, so much inspiration.
If you admire, Breakfast with Mikey Havoc. Thanks to Burger Fuel. Thanks.
This is how we chill from 93.2. Just cooling out, you know what I'm saying? But who's chilling around the land, you know?
Yo, who's chilling? I think I know who's chilling.
Yeah, tell me who's chilling in that
place. Yo, Casual, you know he's chilling.
Yo, Pat Love, he gotta be chilling.
Jay Biz, you know he's chilling.
Hey, yo, man, my man Snoop is chilling, man.
Yo, Mike G, you know he's here chilling.
Yeah, my man Mike P, you know he gotta chill.
Yo, the funky Homo sapien is chilling.
Hey, my man.
Well, well, we've come a long way from the Prime Minister's exploding cake. Or have we?
BFM News.
Atamaria, good morning. Ko Harry Willis, Toko Inua, Ko Te Iwa Karaka. It's 9 o'clock. Labour says they will put nearly $40 million into Radio New Zealand. The bulk of the money will go towards expanding the public broadcaster into other mediums. Labour spokesperson for broadcasting, Claire Curran, says this is important to New Zealanders.
A sense of belonging, a sense of pride, and a sense of real identity in where they come from can only be a good thing and something that we should be investing in and putting a value on.
Curran also hopes this improves the health of dialogue around political issues and cultural differences. Australia has begun sending out ballots for a non-binding vote on support for legalising same-sex marriage. The survey is not binding and does not have the power to change the law, but could lead to a vote in Parliament. People will have until the 7th of November to cast their vote by mail, and results of the voluntary poll are expected on 15th of November. A poll released on Tuesday suggested that 70% of people who rated themselves certain to vote were in favour of changing the law. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has said many people will vote yes, as I will, because they believe the right to marry is a conservative ideal as much as any other principle. The survey opens after thousands of Australians took the streets this week in rainbow colours, rallying for the efforts. Former Prime Ministers Jim Bolger and Geoffrey Palmer are calling for more New Zealand history to be taught in schools. Reporter Mary Margaret Slack reports.
Jim Bolger outlined the importance of teaching our colonial history, saying white racism can partly be attributed to lack of understanding of history. Sir Geoffrey Palmer endorsed Mr. Bolger's comments, adding the importance of teaching and understanding how our government works. Pem Bird, a school principal and former Māori Party president, leads a campaign promoting the need for more Māori history to be taught in our schools. Mr. Bird says this is to do with our notion of citizenship, and that we have an opportunity to leave our days of ignorance behind and embrace our Indigenous history as part of our national identity. Basic education of the treaty is minimal at best. President of the New Zealand History Teachers Association, Graham Bell, says children arrive at secondary school having studied the treaty, but knowing very little about it. Mr. Bell says that learning about the treaty, the New Zealand Wars, and the laws that enabled confiscation of land helps students to understand issues that face Māori today, and that the Waitangi Tribunal is addressing. Mary Margaret Slack, BFM News.
The United Kingdom, France and the Netherlands are all increasing their relief efforts in response to Hurricane Irma's devastation. The three countries have overseas territories in the region, and at least 23 people were killed in those territories. Both the UK and French governments have been criticised for not doing enough to help hurricane victims. 1,000 UK soldiers are in the area delivering aid, and according to officials, there are more supplies that are yet to come. The death toll on the US mainland is at 10 currently, and 60% of homes in the states still have no power. The storm has now downgraded and moved north into Georgia. And that's the news.
Sleet, low pressure systems, depressions and more in this 95BFM weather update. Thanks to ProGear.
Ane nā tohu huarere mō tēnei rā. Your weather forecast for Rapa Wednesday the 13th of September. Cloudy periods today and the odd shower, which will become a little bit more frequent towards the evening. Northwesterlies picking up. Today's high will be 17 degrees and low 13 degrees. Sunset this evening will be at 10 minutes past 6. Your outlook for the next 3 days. Ramere Thursday, showers will be easing in the morning, then clearing in the afternoon to some cloudy periods and northwesterlies. Rapere Friday, rain will be developing in the evening. A fresh northerly turn will be turning westerly. Raharoi Saturday, a few showers will be clearing in the morning to fine spells and a fresh westerly.
Are you wearing the right amount of layers? I hope so. That was a 95BFM weather update. Thanks to Pro Gear, unparalleled quality and professional photographics. Online at progear.co.nz.
It's the 95BFM Surf Report.
Yes, in your surfer today, Ki Te Tairawhiti on the east coast, we have 0 to 1 feet of swells with strong westerly winds. It's not looking good. High tide is at 12:30 today, afternoon. Low tide at 6:10 this morning. Groundhog day on the east, 0 out of 10. Ki Te Tairawhiti on the west, 5 to 7 foot southwest swell, moderate to strong west or southwesterly winds. High tide will be at 2:40 this afternoon. Low tide was at 8:27. Swell was slightly easing today, however, it is very big and messy for Auckland beaches, so again, 0 out of 10. And that was your news, weather and surf. Thank you very much to Mary Margaret Slack this morning. We're holding it down. My name's Harry Willis.
Where was it going to go if she didn't hold it down?
I would have just been, I don't know, just running around, writing the news
like
by myself.
Like a rogue elephant, man. Just like...
Always up
loose
for a challenge,
cannon,
though.
Loose cannon. loose news cannon.
News cannon.
Thank God for Mary Margaret Slack holding it
Thank
down.
Thank God. Thanks, Mary.
Right.
Margaret.
Battening down the hatches. All right.
The time is now 9:06.
Should we give it a freedom call? Shall we?
Yes!
All right, Johnny, I'm going to do one.
When you hold me, I feel better.